بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Question.
What is the Islamic ruling with regards to a vow?
Answer.
Let me begin by giving you an example of a vow. A father says that, oh Allah, if my son passes his exams, I will keep 5 fast for your pleasure. Or he could say, I would make a khatam of the noble Quran. I will give 1,000 rand in charity, etc., etc. Now, if the son passes his exam, then the father will have to do that which he said he would do, whether it is keeping the 5 fast, or making a khatam of the noble Quran, or giving 1,000 rand in charity. If the son achieved that, then the father is obliged to complete that. If the son does not pass, then the father will not have to keep the 5 fast. So a person who takes a vow that if a certain wish or work of his is fulfilled, he will undertake to carry out a certain act of worship. Once the wish or work is fulfilled, it will be wajib upon him to carry out that act of worship which he vowed to do. And if he does not fulfill his vow, he will be committing a great sin.
Question.
Is it permissible to trade in currency as a business?
Answer.
Yes, it is permissible. Now, one thing we need to understand here is that generally business takes place when a person says, would you like to buy this? And the buyer says, yes, I've bought it, or I'd like to buy it. With that, the transaction is completed with the offer and the acceptance. However, when it comes to dealing in currency, then with the mere offer and acceptance, the transaction will not be completed. When dealing in different currencies, at least one of the parties need to take possession of one of the currencies at the time and place of the transaction. Now, let me give you an example in this regard. Just say, Amr is selling dollars to Bakr. So when the transaction is taking place, Amr has the dollars, Bakr has the rands. At least the dollars or the rands need to be handed over to the relevant party at that time. Only then will it be a valid transaction. This has been mentioned by Mufti Taqi Uthmani in his Fiqh Maqalat.
Question.
In which language was the Torah, Zabur and Injil revealed?
Answer.
An interesting question. We know that the Noble Quran has been revealed in the Arabic language. Allah refers to that in the Quran by saying Quranan Arabiyan, that the Quran in the Arabic language. So that has been clearly outlined to us. Now, with regards to the other 3 of the 4 heavenly revealed books, the Torah, the Zabur and the Injil, Allama Suyuti rahimahumullah has mentioned in his book Al-Itqan that majority of the commentators of the Noble Quran are of the opinion that all the heavenly books were revealed in Arabic. All books were revealed in Arabic. It was then translated to the language of the people by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So what a great bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Quran in the Arabic language, and that we are able to memorize it in the Arabic language. This is a bounty that was not given to any of the previous nations. In fact, only the Nabi of the time could memorize the book. Yet such a great bounty that this youngest child of this ummah is able to memorize the Quran and able to keep it in his heart or her heart.
Question.
If clothing with impurities is washed in a washing machine, will it be considered as spark and clean?
Answer.
We know that purity is an important part of our deen, especially for our salah. Our bodies need to be clean as well as our clothing. So this is a very important aspect of our deen. Now, with regards to putting clothing into a washing machine, the system of the washing machine is that it has a continuous cycle of water that flows when the washing machine is on. So once impure clothing has been put in a washing machine and it has been operated adequately, that a person knows how to use the features of the washing machine, it will be regarded as clean. However, as a point of caution, it is always better to first wash off the areas of the clothes that have been affected by impurity before putting it into the washing machine. That is the preferable thing to do in this regard.
Question.
Is it permissible to pluck or shape one's eyebrows?
Answer.
It is not permissible to pluck or shape the eyebrows. This has become very, very common these days. There are very, very few ladies these days who do not engage in this. And unfortunately, we're even seeing men who are following in this regard. There's a very stern warning that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given. He said, narrated by Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed those women who design tattoos to others, and those who have this done to them, those who shape the eyebrows, and those who create space in between the teeth merely for beauty, those who change the natural way that Allah had created them. Shaping of the eyebrows is categorized as changing the natural way with which Allah has created. And even though it's becoming common, we need to still realize what a serious matter it is. Therefore, all acts which constitute the change of the natural way of Allah, with which Allah has created man, is not permissible, except with a genuine excuse. So there may be instances where a person's eyebrows are so long that it's obscuring the vision, a person can't see, or it's become really, really bushy. Then under extreme circumstances, there are concessions in that regard. But as a general ruling and as a general principle, it is not permissible to pluck or to shape eyebrows. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.